Greetings, this is Dan White with the media book, The End Time Church, Chapter 78, The Christian Roman Empire. Historians and most Christians consider the reign of Constantine a turning point in the history of the Roman Empire, of the world, and of the church. Constantine supposedly shifted the polytheism of paganism to the worldwide march of the Christian gospel. The Nicene Creed that came from Constantine's Council of Nicaea, even today is, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, quote, the only ecumenical creed because it is accepted as authoritative by the Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, and major Protestant churches, end quote. What happened to this Christian empire after Constantine? He got the ball rolling. Where did it roll to? Constantine, like other Roman emperors before him, sought to unify his empire under one religion. Previous emperors tried to do that by getting rid of Christianity. Constantine, the first Christian emperor, did it by getting control over Christianity and then making that his state religion. Now, you may recall that this Christian emperor killed his son and his wife. By their fruits you shall know them, Christ said. Constantine's fruit was to kill the fruit of his own body and the wife who had borne his other children. So Constantine, the Christian emperor, contrasted sharply with the original Christian who said, Matthew 5, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who mistreat you and persecute you, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? End quote from what Christ said. Actually, Constantine acted more like a Roman emperor than like a Christian. Constantine, quote, proved he could act without mercy when he killed two Frankish kings by throwing them to beasts in the amphitheater at Trier, end quote. Also, when Constantine defeated his sister's husband, Licinius, for sole control of the Roman Empire, quote, Licinius hoped to return to life as a private citizen, which Constantine initially granted. But he went back on his word, and Licinius was hanged in 325. Even his 9-year-old son was killed, end quote, from the ancient history site. In 325, the year that Constantine held his Council of Nicaea, he had his brother-in-law and nephew killed. Not a very Christian start for the Christian Roman Empire. Rome was the fourth of the great empires seen in Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 2. Verse 38, you, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, are the head of gold. After you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. The fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, because iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things. And as iron that crushes all these, shall it break in pieces and crush. Then in verse 44, in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever, end quote from Daniel 2. The four great empires in world history from that time forward were Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Daniel said that in the days of the fourth kingdom, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. That means the fourth and last kingdom, Rome, continues to exist in some form until Christ returns. Again, what happened in the centuries after the Roman Empire and the Roman Church joined in one unified Roman religion? In 330, Constantine moved the center of the Roman Empire from Rome to Byzantium. He renamed the city New Rome, but later it came to be known as Constantinople, and still later by the Muslims as Istanbul. Quote from History.com, Istanbul in 330, it became the site of Roman Emperor Constantine's New Rome, a Christian city of immense wealth and magnificent architecture. Constantinople stood as the seat of the Byzantine Empire for the next 1,100 years, end quote. Constantine enlarged and Romanized his new capital. He, quote, transferred art and other ornaments from Rome for display in the new capital. Its wide avenues were lined by statues of great rulers like Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar, as well as one of Constantine himself as Apollo, end quote. The first Christian emperor erected a statue of himself as the sun god Apollo. Constantine, the Christian emperor, had taken a giant step toward unifying the church and unifying it with the empire at the Council of Nicaea in 325. Yet within that next decade, he also depicted himself as Apollo, the sun god. Romish Christians and sun-worshipping pagans had both been appeased and pleased by Constantine's Sunday law. In the same way, the Christian emperor had no problem picturing himself as Apollo. Remember that the old Roman religion was all in and all accepted. People could keep their own religions, but everyone had to accept all other religions, and all had to offer incense to the emperor as God. The important thing for Constantine was unity in the empire, not for the cause of Christ, but for the cause of the empire. The Roman Church followed that inclusive approach when it adopted pagan practices to, quote, convert the pagans. Their statues of Apollo still exist in their religious icons and in their days and doctrines. The emphasis of that religion is recruitment, not repentance. It does not emphasize personal repentance before God or individually overcoming human nature, but just joining the church. As with Constantine, he is the, quote, Christian emperor, even though he wasn't baptized until on his deathbed, meaning he lived at least 99.9% of his life as a depraved sinner. Even though he killed his son and wife, and even though he depicted himself as the sun god that he had worshipped his whole life. All that is regarded by Christians to this day as relatively irrelevant. What matters is that he joined the church. After Constantine's death, his son Constantius split the rulership of the Christian Empire with his two younger brothers. He did not kill them, but he did wipe out most of his other male relatives. From the Ancient History Encyclopedia, Constantius was responsible for the slaughter of his cousins and uncles up Theodora's line during the Great Massacre of 337. Such a slaughter within the imperial family itself was unprecedented. Murdering his relatives, whom he saw as challengers to his and his brother's ascensions to the throne, Constantius secured his own position within the empire. The only two male members of this line of the imperial family to survive were Gallus and Julian. End quote. So this second Christian emperor, son of the first Christian emperor, Constantine the Great, did something that had never been done by any previous Roman emperor. He massacred his own extended family. As it said, such a slaughter within the imperial family itself was unprecedented. Now, previous emperors, including Constantine, had slaughtered unrelated competitors. Constantius slaughtered relatives, making this Christian emperor worse than the old pagan emperors. When Constantius' brothers died and he did not kill them, he then became sole emperor. Then at his death, his nephew Julian, one of two male relatives he did not kill, became emperor. Britannica says Julian had been baptized and raised as a Christian, but although outwardly conformed until he was supreme, Christianity in its official guise meant to him the religion of those who had murdered his father, his brother, and many of his relations, and as such was hardly likely to commend itself to him. End quote. So Roman Christianity had not been good for Julian, and he reverted back to good old paganism. He is known as Julian the Apostate, and he persecuted those who were called Christians. After all, they had wiped out his family. But he was the last officially pagan Roman emperor, and ruled for only 20 months. After him, quote, Christianity, a blend of pagan practices and Christian names, was the continuous official religion of the Roman Empire. The Roman Church, aligned with the Roman government, continued to attack beliefs and practices of the original disciples of Christ, such as the Sabbath. We recall how Hadrian, after the Bar Kokhba rebellion, had forbidden anything Jewish in Jerusalem, including the Sabbath and feasts. In the same vein, Constantine had outlawed Passover to, quote, separate ourselves from the detestable company of the Jews, so said Eusebius. Well, Christian Rome kept up those attacks against first flock faith, just as pagan Rome had done. All those original Pentecost Christians, including Peter and John, would have been attacked by the Roman Church had it existed then. However, those repeated Roman attacks through the centuries testify that a number of non-Roman Christians still sought to follow Christ the King and not the Church. Rome and the Western Empire fell in 476 when Germanic armies sacked the city. The eastern part of the empire, ruled from Constantinople, lasted another millennium until 1453. New Rome was about 1,400 miles by land from Old Rome, yet, quote, the Byzantines called themselves Romans, their emperor was emperor of the Romans, and their capital was New Rome, from the Ancient History Encyclopedia. Now, the Patriarch of Constantinople was the Eastern Pope, or religious king, and he was appointed and thus controlled by the emperor. From the Ancient History Encyclopedia, paganism continued to be practiced for centuries after the foundation of Byzantium, but it was Christianity which became the defining feature of Byzantine culture, profoundly affecting its politics, foreign relations, and art and architecture. The church was headed by the Patriarch, Bishop of Constantinople, who was appointed or removed by the emperor. Local bishops who presided over larger towns and their surrounding territories, and who represented both the church and emperor. Those local bishops had considerable wealth and powers in their local communities. Christianity, then, became an important common denominator, which helped bind together diverse cultures into a single empire. End quote. Now you can see there how Constantine's plan to unify the empire worked. His church helped unify his empire. Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Yet this church, which claimed to be the one true church, was joined at the center to the greatest earthly kingdom. But there was a problem. When Rome fell, the Roman church remained. Thus there existed an empire church at Rome and an empire church at Constantinople. And just as would-be Roman emperors often fought for supremacy, so the Roman Empire's dual churches fought for supremacy. From the Britannica, quote, "The greatest schism in church history occurred between the Church of Constantinople and the Church of Rome. While 1054 is the symbolic date of the separation, the agonizing division was 6 centuries in the making, and the result of several different issues. When the Roman Empire was divided into 2 zones, Latin-speaking Rome began to claim superiority over Greek-speaking Constantinople. Disputes arose over church boundaries and control. Disputes over authority became even more heated in the 11th century as Rome asserted its primacy over all churches. Lesser matters related to worship and church discipline, for example, married clergy in the Orthodox versus celibacy in the Roman Catholics, and rules of fasting and tonsure strained ecclesial relations." End quote. Rules of tonsure. What is tonsure? Tonsure is, quote, from the Oxford Dictionary, "a part of a monk's or priest's head left bare on top by shaving off the hair." End quote. Tonsure is an intentional bald spot. Roman monks had them, Constantinople's didn't, and apparently the Roman monks did not want their tonsures removed. The Britannica goes on, "The tensions became a schism in 1054 when the uncompromising Patriarch of Constantinople and the uncompromising envoys of the Pope excommunicated each other. Total alienation came a century and a half later as a result of the Crusades, when Christian knights made military campaigns to save Jerusalem and the Holy Land from the Muslims. In 1204, the Fourth Crusade was diverted to attack and capture Constantinople brutally. Thousands of Orthodox Christians were murdered. Churches and icons were desecrated, and undying hostility developed between East and West." End quote. You know, right after Christ said, "My kingdom is not of this world," he said, "If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight," John 18:36. Well, Roman Empire Christians did fight, slaughtering each other. Rome prevailed because their side slaughtered more. Did that make them better Christians? You can see that Christian Rome, whether in Rome or Constantinople, was an awful lot like old pagan Rome. Well, not only were the churches divided between Rome and Constantinople, but two empires developed. Several centuries after Rome fell, the Holy Roman Empire appeared in the West as a counterpart to Constantinople in the East. It was the Holy Roman Empire because the Roman Church made it holy. Charlemagne of the Franks was the first emperor. He ruled France. That name comes from the Franks. And he ruled Western Germany and Belgium. When Charlemagne visited Rome in 800, the Roman Pope unexpectedly crowned him the first Holy Roman Emperor. Quote from Britannica, "Suddenly, as Charlemagne rose from prayer, Leo placed a crown on his head. And while the assembled Romans acclaimed him as Augustus and Emperor, the Pope abased himself before Charlemagne, adoring him after the manner of the emperors of old." End quote. So there were two empires, the Holy Roman Empire in Western Europe and the Constantinople Empire. And therefore there were two emperors and two true churches. Now you can quickly figure out that two true churches is one too many. If there are more than one, then there are none. As discussed before, Christ did not say, "I will build my church," with church being a Roman-type ecclesiastical empire. He actually said, "I will build my ecclesia," an assembly, congregation, or flock, which is the very opposite of the Roman Church or the Constantinople Church or any other church with a Roman-type government. After being attacked by the Crusaders in 1204, Constantinople continued a couple more centuries as a weak Eastern Empire. But in 1453, Muslims conquered the city, and today it is Istanbul in Muslim Turkey. The Eastern Church split into other churches, including the Eastern or Greek Orthodox, the Russian Orthodox, and other less Orthodox Orthodoxes. In the West, the Roman Church was closely intertwined with the Holy Roman Empire, with popes crowning emperors. The emphasis, as in old Rome, was on keeping the state religion unified. The most glaring example of enforced unity was the Inquisition. Oxford Dictionary defines the Inquisition as, quote, "an ecclesiastical tribunal established by Pope Gregory IX in 1232 for the suppression of heresy. It was active chiefly in northern Italy and southern France, becoming notorious for the use of torture." Now that raises the question, should a church be notorious for torture? Reading from history.com, quote, "Beginning in the 12th century and continuing for hundreds of years, The Inquisition is infamous for the severity of its tortures and its persecution of Jews and Muslims. Its worst manifestation was in Spain, where the Spanish Inquisition was a dominant force for more than 200 years, resulting in some 32,000 executions. End quote. Actually, the Church also persecuted Christians, non-Roman Christians, such as the Waldensians. Britannica says their views were based on a simplified biblicism, moral rigor, and criticism of abuses in the contemporary church. They accepted the Bible as the sole total authority of all doctrine. Additionally, a formal church building was not viewed as necessary to worship God, and thus many Waldenses held services in their homes, stables, or other locations. Their movement, often joined to and influenced by other sects, spread rapidly to Spain, northern France, Flanders, Germany, and southern Italy, and even reached Poland and Hungary. Rome responded vigorously, turning from excommunication to active persecution and execution. End quote. So the Roman Church turned to active persecution and execution. Now this is the instruction that Christ gave his disciples in Matthew 10. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils, and in their synagogues they will scourge you. End quote. Notice that Christ said that the Christians were not the persecutors, but the persecuted, harmless as doves. On the other hand, this was how the Roman Church went forth. From history.com, quote, inquisitors would arrive in a town and announce their presence, giving citizens a chance to admit to heresy. Those who confessed received a punishment ranging from a pilgrimage to a whipping. Those accused of heresy were forced to testify. If the heretic did not confess, torture and execution were inescapable. Heretics weren't allowed to face accusers, received no counsel, and were often victims of false accusations. End quote. The most famous part of the Inquisition was the Spanish Inquisition, where great wealth was taken from the, quote, heretics, giving extra motivation to the inquisitors. The Roman Church in Spain forced Jews and Muslims to convert, and they were then known as conversos. Then later the Roman Church executed them for being false converts. How about that reasoning? The Church forced them to convert, then accused them of not being sincere. They thought the conversos were reversos. Quote, from history.com, in 1481, 20,000 conversos confessed to heresy, hoping to avoid execution. Inquisitors decreed that their penitence required them to name other heretics. By the year's end, hundreds of conversos were burned at the stake, end quote. Now, the Inquisition, though, reached far beyond Spain. In Portugal, quote, in 1580, Spain conquered Portugal and began rounding up and slaughtering Jews that had fled Spain. Philip II also renewed hostilities against the Moors, who revolted and found themselves either killed or sold into slavery, end quote. And in France, quote, in 1307, inquisitors were involved in the mass arrest and tortures of 15,000 Knights Templar in France, resulting in dozens of executions. Joan of Arc, burned at the stake in 1431, is the most famous victim of this wing of the Inquisition. End quote. In the Netherlands, quote, Netherlands where Lutherans were hunted down and burned at the stake, end quote. The Inquisition reached even into the New World, quote, as Spain expanded into the Americas, so did the Inquisition, established in Mexico in 1570. And in 1574, Lutherans were burned at the stake there. And the Inquisition came to Peru, where Protestants were likewise tortured and burned alive. End quote. Of course, Martin Luther, a Roman church priest, naively posted his 95 suggestions for improving the Roman Church in 1517. However, they actually sought to improve their church by killing Luther and those who agreed with him. Quote, by the mid-1600s, the Inquisition and Catholic dominance had become such an oppressive fact of daily life in Spanish territories that Protestants avoided those places altogether. The last person to be executed by the Inquisition was Cayetano Ripoll, a Spanish schoolmaster, hanged for heresy in 1826. End quote. Well, Señor Ripoll took his place in history as the last Inquisition execution, at least up to now. And at least they hung him instead of burning him. The Roman Empire had perhaps 10 periods of intense persecutions of Christians from 64 to 310. That's about 2.5 centuries. Persecuted for not submitting to the Roman religion. The Roman Church, on the other hand, actively persecuted who would not submit to their church from 1232 until the last execution in Spain in 1826. So the Roman Church persecution lasted more than twice as long as the Roman Empire's persecution. Further, the Christian Church's means of torture were satanic. There is no other way to realistically describe what they did. Just demonic torture. One of the church's most famous torture devices was the rack, where heretics, so-called, were stretched into submission. Another was to hang the victim upside down by his legs. Then two men with a big saw would begin to saw the heretic, beginning at the groin and going down. And, of course, there was the common practice of burning the heretic at the stake, as with William Tyndale, the Bible translator. Roman Christians burned hordes of people at the stake in their service to God. Christ said, "The time comes that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God." And Roman Christians burned hordes of people at the stake in their service to God. This is what the Jews did to Yahweh's true followers. This is what the Jews did. Hebrews 11, verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn apart. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They went around in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. End quote. Sawn apart? Well, that sounds a lot like what the Roman Church did. How was it that the Jews and the Roman Church wound up acting the same way? Well, they could act that way because they both were the true religion. The Roman Church, which joined the Roman Empire, wound up like the Roman Empire, with their days, their doctrines, and their titles like Pontifex Maximus. They also wound up like the Roman Empire in their persecution of Christians who would not join their church. The Holy Roman Empire ended in 1806 when Napoleon took the crown from the hands of the Pope and crowned himself, and the Inquisition also soon ended. So Constantine began the Christian Roman Empire. He got the ball rolling. Where did it roll to? It rolled right back to the persecutions of the old Roman Empire for the same reason. Why did the Jews turn Yeshua over to the Romans to be killed? Because he did not submit to the official religion, which was the Jews' religion of traditions and commandments of men. Why did the Roman Empire periodically persecute Christians for 250 years? Because the Christians would not submit to the official religion of the Roman government. Why did the Roman Church persecute Jews, Muslims, and Christians for 600 years? Because they would not submit to the Roman Church. Well, how did Constantine's Christian Empire do? It unified the empire under one religion for many centuries, just as he wanted. Those Christians who sought to follow Christ directly and to personally go by the Bible had to reject the organized, powerful, dominant, good-looking religion. To follow the true Christ, they had to reject the true church.